podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Welcome to Book Hype episode 57, the big 5-7, that milestone that everyone is trying to reach. We are celebrating this week with a weird show that's kind of about books, but just stay with us and you'll love it. I've got Karen with me. How are you, Karen?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm excellent, but we don't have Jen this week. So to make up for that, we've brought on two guest hosts to try and fill the Jen-shaped void that is in our hearts. So I would like to welcome Donya from Hyperball, who you may recognize as that other girl with the weird accent. She is on Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. She edits all of our things, that they're wonderful. What else do you do, Donya? Have I missed anything else?
I'm on Rewatchable at the moment.
Oh, Rewatchable as well.
So I'm also going to be covering Downton Abbey from this week as well.
And well, Constantine
and Gallivant.
And oh, God. What an overachiever.
I love you too, Marima.
So this is Donya's first time on Book Hype, so we're happy to have her. And yeah, and another first timer for Book Hype, we would like to welcome the lovely, she's going to hate this, who I would call the web series It Girl, Mary Kate Wiles.
Hello, I don't hate that. That's fine. Please continue to flatter me.
You're welcome. So Mary Kate, people might recognize her voice from such things as The Lizzie Bennet Diaries and Squaresville and School of Thrones and a million movies that she's filmed but have not come out yet.
Approximately a million, yes.
Yeah, that's just, you know, underestimate. But, you know, lots of trailers around.
That's true.
Thanks so much for joining us. The reason we asked Mary Kate on this week is because we are going to be talking all about web series, books, literary adaptations, all of those kinds of things. So we spend a lot of time on this show talking about film and TV adaptations, and we thought, why don't we talk about web stuff? So Mary-Kate's been in the middle of it all, and Donya's a huge nerd for it all. So it's, you know, perfect combination.
Yay! Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yay, thanks for joining us. So before we jump into that, we are still going to talk about what we have been reading. Karen, did you want to start us off?
Yeah, mine's pretty easy this week. I've read two books by Cass Morgan. I read The 100, and then I read the sequel, Day 21, and they were really good. I didn't really know anything about the series except for the quick commercial that I've seen on for the television show, so I kind of dove right into the world and read both books back to back, and they're really interesting, and I'm excited to see where she continues to go with this series. And I haven't started the television series yet, but I've heard some pretty good things about it. People said it started off a little bit slow, but that it really kind of picks up. So I think I'm going to start watching that and see how it compares to the book.
I've heard it's really different.
Yeah, and the books are really different too, because it's about this group of kids who go down to Earth after there's like this nuclear fallout type of thing. And so it's, you know, there's radiations, changed animals and plant life, and it's really a different version of Earth that I've never seen before. So it's pretty cool.
And you reviewed Day 21, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So people can see what you thought of it. That's always exciting. Donya, what about you? What have you been reading?
I have three books on the go, so I'm most of the way through The Hero at the End of the World by Aaron Claiborne, which is kind of, if you're into like the prophesized hero kind of thing, it's a riff on that. It's not out yet. It's coming out, I think it was November. It's in November. Yeah. And it's being published by a Kickstarter publishing company, basically. So they got crowdfunded to kind of put this out, and they're writers that have come from fandoms, which is really, really cool. But if you're into like anything like Harry Potter or Percy Jackson or anything like that, I'm gonna highly recommend this already because it is so good. It's very, very witty, very clever take on the prophesized hero trope. But I don't want to ruin it more than that because it's just so clever how it's been written. And then I'm also reading the 15th book in the Dresden Files series, which is called Skin Game, which, again, obviously, if you haven't read the ones that have come before, the Dresden Files is like an urban fantasy kind of thing about a wizard for hire living in Chicago. And yeah, it's the 15th novel in the series, so that would be major spoilerific if I kind of got into it more than that. But it's a really good continuation on so far. I'm like three chapters in though, but I'm kind of wanting to abandon all of my other books just to carry on reading that because I'm such a huge, huge fan of the Dresden Files. And the last book I'm currently reading is Hero by Perry Moore, which was actually shoved at me by someone else that I work with because they said, oh, you're really into superheroes. This is a kind of a novel where superheroes are known, and it's like a coming out story at the same time. And they said that they thought I'd really, really enjoy it. I'm like three or four chapters into that one at the moment, and I'm enjoying it. I just, the writing isn't as strong as I'd like it to be. I'm hoping it'll improve a bit as I get further in, but it's an interesting take on superheroes and coming of age stories. So I'm really enjoying that.
Cool. That was an interesting range of things. Mary Kate, have you been reading anything fun recently you can tell us about?
I'm embarrassed because I definitely do not read as much as you lovely ladies. I'm afraid my time is taken up with reading audition sides and scripts. But I do love reading, and I was a literature major. I saw you guys promote Audible on here, and I have also been doing an audio book club sort of thing on my YouTube channel because audiobooks are really cool, and a lot of actors do that. And I'm currently listening to Maxwell Glick's narration of a book called My Brother's Voice, which is a Holocaust tale. So it's really intense, and I'm really enjoying that. And it's fun to get to hear your friends read you a book. Maxwell Glick, of course, played Mr. Collins on the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. And before that, I read The Secret Diary of Lizzie Bennet, which is, of course, the novelization book companion to the show, because I was like, I wonder what's in here. And I enjoyed that quite a bit, and also listened to the audiobook by Ashley Clements. You guys have such cool books that I've never heard of. The last thing I read before that was just Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell, who I met recently and really, really enjoyed that so much. And she was just really cool. And I'm looking forward to reading her other books as well.
Oh, that's cool. We're fans of audiobooks here. We're big fans of Rainbow Rowell. So yeah. You can point to that. Yeah.
Definitely.
She's awesome. I got to meet her at LeakyCon about a month ago, and she was just very, very cool.
Very cool. That's what me. Is your, if people were interested in checking out your audiobook club, where could they find you on YouTube?
On YouTube, my channel name is MK Smiles, and you spell that EMKAYSMILES. And that is a name that's left over from when I was in like high school.
We all have one.
Yeah,
it was just about to get rid of it.
I haven't changed it, which that's obviously different from all my other social media handles. But yes, I'm at youtube.com/MKSmiles.
Cool. Well, people can check that out.
Yeah.
I just want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. And for our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. And one audiobook you might like to think about is The Secret Diary of Lizzie Bennet, which Mary Kate was just talking about.
This is kind of the perfect book for this episode because it is the novelization of the web series adaptation of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen.
Is anybody confused yet?
Yeah, if you can get your head around that, then, you know, you deserve a free audiobook at the very least. And this one was narrated by Ashley Clements, who played Lizzie. And I haven't listened to it, but Mary-Kate, does she do all the different voices for all the different people?
She certainly does, and she does them very well. She even does voices that weren't in the series. She had to make up, I think she does at least 20. It's pretty impressive.
That's crazy. Yeah. How is her Lydia voice?
I like it. It's a little lower pitched than I would have done, but otherwise I approve.
Oh, so it has a Mary-Kate stamp of approval. So, you know, definitely check that out. I read it. Jenya, you've read this too.
I read it. I didn't realize there was an audiobook, and now I'm super excited.
Oh, yeah. You can go and get it for free from audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. And Jenya will be racing you for that one. Get in there and check it out. I have been reading a few things. The first thing I read was Falling Into Place by Amy Zhang, which is the book Jen and I were kind of arguing about on last episode, whether it was about like physics or not. I totally stand by it being about physics. It's not about physics, but like in the way that I thought it was sort of a metaphor for her life, it's totally about physics. It's really, really great. I 100% recommend it. It's about a girl who intentionally drives her car off the road, and then it's told both in flashbacks about the things that led her up to that point and from her friend's perspective and how they deal with that after it happens. It's really beautifully written. It's a debut. It's actually, I don't know if I've told you guys this, I actually have a real life, not real life, but in person book club with people who are not only in the same country, but in the same room as me. And this is actually the book that we're going to be talking about this month because I liked it that much. And then I didn't have to read something else. See, I'm tricky like that. So definitely recommend. We have a review of that up on Hyperball, and we also have an interview with Amy. So you can check that out. I read A Little Something Different by Sandy Hall, I think all of you would like this. I was actually thinking, Mary-Kate, that I must tell Yulin about this.
Oh,
it's it's about these two people who go to college and, you know, they have this meet cute and it's adorable, but they just like can't get their stuff together and all of their friends ship them like in real life. And so it's told from 14 different perspectives of their friends, their teachers, you know, their waitress who serves them coffee, all things like this. It's super cute about them just, you know, kind of doing this weird dance around each other as they vaguely, you know, attempt to have something. It's pretty cute. They're a couple.
Right up Yulin's alley.
Right. Yeah, I thought so as I was reading it. That's an American release, I think. So it should be out overseas. I know people get mad that sometimes the books I talk about are not available there.
What is the name of that one again?
A Little Something Different.
Okay, I'll have to tell
you. Very
her.
Descriptive, yes. And then, so the other two books are Melbourne Australian releases, so people will get mad about these. The first one is The Boy's Own Manual to Being a Proper Jew by Eli Glasman, which is another debut and which is really fantastic. It is very short. It's only about 200 pages. It's not really plot driven so much as character driven. It's about a boy who grows up as an Orthodox Jew who thinks that he's gay and how he how he kind of deals with that. It's a really interesting take on both like a coming out story and Judaism. And I felt like it dealt with both really, really, really well and really honestly. The author actually grew up Orthodox Jewish. So, you know, it's based on his own experiences, but it's not autobiographical. But that's available as an ebook overseas. I checked, so people can read that. I think that's like, it's one of those books that's actually a really important book, but it kind of tricks you by being really good at the same time. It's not an issues book that hits you over the head. So you forget like, oh, this is important, like social, you know, societal things. But That's cool. And then the last book I read was The Incredible Adventures of Cinnamon Girl, which is the best title I've ever heard and has the greatest cover. It's by Melissa Keel. I don't know how to say her name. I apologize. Who I've talked about before. She's an Australian author and she's so fantastic. It is about a girl growing up in a very small country town in Australia with her best friend, and someone makes a YouTube video proclaiming that the apocalypse is coming and the only place that is going to survive is at these coordinates on Earth, and those coordinates of course happen to be her town. So all of these crazy people turn up in her town, you know, thinking that the world is going to end. At the same time, she is trying to work out what she's going to do when she finishes high school, and she has dreams of being a comic book artist. So she draws parallels between everyone in her life and various comic book characters, and Cinnamon Girl is like her comic book creation. It's really, really great. It's so good. I love this author so much. She's one of my favorite authors. I don't think this one's available overseas yet, but her first one, which is called Life in Outer Space, and that's a very similar in style, though different in content. And that one's about a boy who is a really big film nerd who is in high school and deals with various issues. So she writes such good books. She's like the Australian Rainbow Rowell. She just writes these great books for like nerdy Tumblr people. So what's not to like about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you texted me about the Cinnamon Girl one, and I was like, I've been looking for it over here everywhere, and I couldn't get hold of it. So I'm just going to have to wait. So thanks.
Well, you know, maybe I can deliver a copy at some point.
We'll see.
You're so good to me.
Yeah, I know. I'm so wonderful. Okay, so for book bites this week, we mentioned last week that there's that Facebook meme going around, and someone, one of our lovely listeners, asked us what our 10 books would be that for the answer to that, which is super difficult question and really mean of you. But it inspired us to do a little Hyperbull series, which we are sort of, we started off last week. There'll be more continuing for the next probably couple months. Everyone on staff wants to be involved. But Karen, you were the first person to do this. Uh-huh. So what were your 5 most memorable, top, amazing, love these books forever list?
I'm not sure that made sense, but okay.
made perfect sense.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Sure. Okay, so my first one was the Harry Potter series, of course, because you can't leave that off your list. Come on, seriously. And the reason why I chose that was because that's what inspired me to want to write, and it still inspires me to do that. And a lot of that has to do with J.K. Rowling and, you know, how she kind of fell into it and how much she struggled with it to begin with and how successful she is today. It's very inspiring. And my second one is Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. Just because, I don't know, it was the first classic that I actually couldn't put down. It was really engaging, and there weren't a lot of classics before then that I liked all that much, and this one was just so good, and I think it's really deep, and it makes you think really hard about good and evil and what a villain is and, you know, who the bad guy is in that story. Then my third one was Speak You Also by Paul Steinberg. And this one is actually a nonfiction book, and it's about the concentration camp Auschwitz. And the author, Paul Steinberg, was there. He went there when he was 16 years old. And it was about his story, and it was sort of like a rebuttal to another person's book, Primo Levi's Survival in Auschwitz, who portrayed him as this guy named Henri. And he wasn't a very good person in Primo Levi's book. And then Paul Steinberg kind of came back and said, well, look, you know, is it so wrong to survive? Like, these are the things I did to stay alive. And I think that asks a lot of really hard questions. And I would definitely recommend it for people who can read those sort of things. I know it's not for everybody and it can be kind of difficult to get through, but I think it's really worth it if you can. And then I chose Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell because that book just speaks to me. And I've talked about it before, but it's really good. Highly recommend it. And then I chose The Time Traveler's Wife, which I think Marima and I sort of like freaked out because we both really love this book. And as regular Book Hype listeners know, we never agree. So that was kind of exciting. And this book is just like, I don't know. I don't like sad books. I don't like sad anything. I love happy endings. And this book has, I don't know, it's really messy. And the ending is not happy. It's not sad. It's just, yeah, exactly. It's kind of all over the place, but it's so good. I haven't read it again since we talked, but it's going near the top of my list because I definitely need to reread it.
Cool. And Jen's list will probably be up by the time this podcast goes up. And then my list will be up next week. So we are going to talk about them on the next episode. I'm going to ask Donya and Mary Kate and put them on the spot and ask them what their five might be. But while they're thinking about that, Facebook released some stats about, I guess, just more evidence that Facebook are like creeping on everything that you do, released some stats about the books that sort of topped these lists, and probably surprising no one, the Harry Potter series was at the top with like 21% of people putting it on. There are a lot of classics on here. I don't know. Karen, have you seen this? There's To Kill a Mockingbird. We've got Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, which I'm very pleased to see. Pride and Prejudice, The Bible, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Hunger Games, Catcher in the Rye, Narnia, Gatsby. So lots of classics on here, which, I mean, I guess not that surprising, but that's still interesting. So, Mary-Kate, what would be on your top five list?
My list is not very exciting, because a lot of those books are on it. Anybody that knows anything about me knows that I am a gigantic Lord of the Rings fan, and that, of course, is my number one, just because those movies and those books, I saw the first movie without having read the books or knowing anything about them, and then I proceeded to read all of them multiple times. And that story is what made me want to pursue acting specifically in my life, and just made me fall in love with storytelling as a vocation and as a hobby and just a thing to devote your life to. I think it is perfect. I know people have beef with Lord of the Rings, but it is just my favorite thing on the planet. I think J.R.R. Tolkien has just was unbelievable, and that book shaped my life more than anything else, like at all, really. Like,
You can come back.
I just love it so much. I have so much love for that world. So next, similarly, Harry Potter, of course. I just devoured those books as a teenager. And I remember specifically, Goblet of Fire really got to me with just how atrocious Voldemort was in his, you know, in his villainy and how terrifying he was. And that was the first time like a villain that I read was genuinely awful to me. I mean, villains are always like this weird, scary thing, but that was just like chilling. And I really, I don't know. All of my books are things that, like, I don't know, as an actor, I think about things cinematically, I guess, and get excited to, like, go on a wild ride. And that did that. Next, David Copperfield, actually, by Dickens, who is my favorite of the old English authors. I think he just writes the most wonderful characters. I had to read that book over spring break my senior year, and I had to read like 80 pages a day. Like, that was all my spring break was reading David Copperfield for my AP Lit class, and I just loved it. Next is Lord of the Flies, which is obviously not the nicest story, but again, like, I remember reading that book and thinking, like, I want, well, I can't be in this movie because I'm not a little boy, but I want to direct this movie. Like, I see this in my brain so vividly. It just was so chilling to me. I don't know. I'm maybe morbidly obsessed with things that are kind of icky, but I thought it was so haunting. And finally, and not ironically, Pride and Prejudice, which I truly, truly loved growing up, and and reading, and I loved Jane Austen's style and her wit and her satire, her sarcasm, and Elizabeth Bennet was such a cool lady, like just such a cool lady to like go on this journey with. And even though it's of course like the most like romantic la la la, you know, she's such a kick-ass narrator and a kick-ass lead character that I really fell in love with her and fell in love with Jane Austen's storytelling as well. So those are my off-the-cuff picks.
That is an excellent list.
Thanks.
I'm on board. As hype, well, book hypes and hypeables resident, like Tolkien and classics nerd.
Yes, I'm with you.
I'm so on board with that. Yeah, I know. I'm not looking forward to having to pick between Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, honestly, when I get to that. But we'll see how that goes down. Danya, what about you? Have you been able to think of five or, you know, 500?
Yeah, this is the worst for me because I've been trying to narrow mine down from like maybe 20 books to get it down to like 10 or 5. It's not been going so well. I get the easy one out of the way, Harry Potter. I grew up with those books from like when I was still at primary school. So they've been with me my entire life and they're still with me now. Like they grew up with me. And they kind of, I guess, in a way, the same way that they did to a lot of people, they shaped the way that I grew up and the way that I saw other people and the way I took the lessons that it taught and applied it to my own life. I mean, there's no way of getting around that. J.K. Rowling left like a massive impact on my life and on the life of like a lot of people around me. Like she shaped a lot of my friendships as well through those books and people that I met through them. A couple of my other ones will probably, I don't know if they're going to be like UK specific though, because there was a series of Celtic fantasy novels called The Devery Cycle that were written by Catherine Kerr. And these were a series of like 15 novels that they're kind of set in like this fictional kind of world called Devery. And they're like this epic sweeping fantasy kind of thing. And I used to lose myself in these books. I would sit down and just, I would pour myself into them. They were full of magic and just the main character of it is this strong female presence called Jill, who she was just amazing. I have so much love for these books and practically no one knows about them. Like whenever I mention them, no one knows what they are, but they had such a huge impact on me because Jill was so strong in the way that she approached her life through the books and how she kind of went on the road with her father figure and kind of protected him, even though, you know, typically it would be the other way around, and how she lived her life. That they were just phenomenal books. Probably also The Belgariad by David Eddings, that series of books, which is again a 5-book series of fantasy novels. Is it sensing a theme here? I really like fantasy stuff. A lot.
I feel like choosing series is totally cheating because you end up getting like 25 books.
Yeah, five. But it's really, really hard to narrow them down. I'll be really, really good and I'll also choose single books though, but you're already making it too difficult for me. Yeah, again, it's kind of that series of books, but I particularly like the first one, which was called Port of Prophecy. It's another one of those kind of prophesized hero books. And I just really enjoyed it. Like, I lost myself in fantasy novels a lot when I was a kid. And I used to love writing my own. And they really, really inspired me to, like, kind of be really, really creative. So I love those. Good Omens has to be on there for me. It's just one of the funniest books I have ever read, And it's one of those ones that I own about three different copies of it from when it's been released over time over here, because I just love it so much. And I really want to just keep giving back because I love that book. Yeah, just the humor of it connected with me instantly. Like within the first page, I was in stitches, just laughing at it. How many have I done? Is that four?
Yeah.
Technically. Emma. I really, really like Emma. Also by another Jane Austen thing. And obviously it will also link into the web series stuff a little bit later as well. But I don't know. Of her books, I really, really enjoy Emma the most. Just because she can sometimes, like on first reading, she is a very, very difficult character to sympathize with. But sometimes you would see what she was like trying to get at and how she was trying to approach everything. And she had everyone's best interests at heart, which for me, like when I was a lot younger as well, I tended to be the same way. I wanted like the best for everyone and to do everything for everyone. And it taught me a lot about myself when I was reading that book and how to kind of rein it in a little bit. And it's just such a classic book as well. And I love it to bits. But
good
that,
choice.
Yeah, but that list is probably going to change by the time I do my article, no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. My list changes about every 20 seconds, so I wouldn't worry about it. I saw in the comments of last week's episode that people have been leaving us their lists. So if you haven't done that yet, make sure you do that for this episode. And then we will read some of them next week when Jen and I talk about ours and I list the like 15 books that I couldn't put in my article, but I want to talk about anyway. So that would be great. Make sure you tune in next time for that.
There's also a very important comment on that, our last book hype episode as well, that I would like to read.
Oh, I so know what you're going to.
And
all right.
This
all right.
is from Cassie Drake, who thankfully says, Karen, people seem to forget that the first day of winter isn't until December 21st, which means that most of December is still technically during the fall. So I think most of the books you're looking forward to are still fall books. Ha ha. Thank
well,
you,
Well, I would
Cass
like
Drake.
To point out that that would still technically be spring, not fall, because your hemisphere is wrong. And leave it at that. But thank you, Cassie Drake, because you always leave great comments. So number one commenter. You can make yourself a little badge or something. Okay, let's talk about web series before we get lost in the void of hyperbole comments. I wanted to, just before we kind of jump into it, talk a little bit about where we've all sort of come from in terms of web series. Like, I used to write about web series on hyperbole. That's one of the first things that I was doing on the site. So you know, I watched the Lizzie Bennet Diaries from the start. That's kind of the first one, although I used to watch like My Music and a couple other shows, but in terms of like literary shows, Lizzie Bennet kind of started it all. And I've been watching web series since then. So that's, you know, getting onto a couple years now. And Mary Kate obviously mm-hmm. has been involved with mm-hmm. web series
a little
for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you sort of get into that world? Was Squaresville the first one that you did?
Yeah, Squaresville was the first, and you know, it so just happened. It was just a coincidence. We shot Squaresville, like, gosh, 4 years ago now? So a long time ago, and it didn't come out for such a long time, and then it just happened that it started at the same time as LBD. But through doing Squaresville, Matt Inlow, the creator, kind of was very emphatic about me and Kylie, the other lead, like getting out and meeting other web people and going to mixers and stuff. So we did. And that's how I met Bernie, Sue, and Jenny Powell, which of course isn't, you know, why I got cast as Lydia. I still had to audition like anybody else. But I think you just like knowing somebody like helps you get in the door. I don't know that I would have been selected to audition if I didn't, you know them already. And so that's kind of went from there. And then School of Thrones happened and Kissing in the Rain and all of that stuff. It's crazy how one thing leads to another.
All of these things. And mm-hmm. Danya, you watched Lizzie Bennet. Did you watch it from the start?
I watched it from the start. Yeah, yeah. I think Lizzie Bennet was the one that introduced me to web series. I was looking for something at the time that I could just watch really, really quickly on my lunch breaks at work and just mm-hmm. like kind of get through that, and something that I could look forward to every week. So I kind of stumbled upon it because I was like scrolling through YouTube just looking for something, and I stumbled on it and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. Started off with it, and then it all spiraled into madness from there. I was gonna say I probably watch more web series than I do TV, but wow, that's probably also not true.
That would be really hard
to believe.
That would
be a lot of web series.
Because I also watch a ridiculous amount of TV.
And Karen's is the most interesting, because the reason I actually asked Karen on this show is because she is not really a web series person, just in that she had never sort of gotten into it. So I gave Karen this list of homework. I gave her homework before the show, this list of shows she had to at least watch the trailer for. And one of the things I gave her was there's a trailer for Lizzie Bennet Diaries, but because Mary-Kate, you're coming on, and because, you know, I think Pride and Prejudice, it's old enough now, we don't have to worry too much about spoilers. Right. Some fan had put together a reel of the show that basically cut the whole thing together in like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it was really, it's really, really good. And so I sent that to Karen and was like, if you don't watch the show, like, you need to watch this so that you are kind of up to date on how things were adapted and how things were translated. But Karen, what did you do instead?
I pretty much binge watched the entire show. And actually, I did it from the website, so I still got the whole experience. Oh, wow. With the tweets and everything. But
oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was kind of intense. There was a lot of texting to Merima in all caps when certain things happened. And it's funny because I had never gotten into web series at all. I mean, it's not that I watched them and just, you know, didn't really like them or whatever. Like, I had never watched them before this, before Merima gave me this huge list of homework. And
it's not that big.
It was pretty big. And I was like, you know, is it going to be good acting? Is the cinematography going to be like quality? Am I really going to enjoy this? Or is it going to be hard to kind of see past that and actually get into the show? And I was completely wrong about that. And I'm really happy to admit that, because I think I found a new favorite thing to do. I really like web series.
That's really cool. That's really sweet.
And what other, have you been watching any others, Karen?
Yes. I'm kind of obsessed with The New Adventures of Peter and Wendy, because that is really, really good. And they just got enough money to do season two. And I'm really excited I'm kind of excited that I'll be able to watch it live, but I'm kind of not, because that means I have to wait for each episode. But
yeah, welcome to this.
Welcome.
Club. Yeah. I'm so glad that I did not have to wait in between episodes of the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, because I was up to like 2 a.m. for like 3 nights in a row. Like, I can't go to bed yet. Just one more episode.
I don't understand how people do that, but I'm very impressed with you.
She's a junkie. She's a
junkie. I am now. You're my dealer, Merima.
Oh, I'm so proud. No one's ever called me their dealer before. This is the moment to remember. Okay. Well, we'll talk about some more favorites in a little bit, mainly because I have a million shows that I want to force onto everyone, like I forced onto Karen. Before we do that, I feel like, you know, any discussion of web series kind of needs to start with the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, because it really did kick off this trend of not, you know, web series, but literary web series, and this idea that you could take books and adapt them into, like Karen said, a really well-produced, really well-acted, like, it's not in someone's basement, it's not in someone's backyard, it's a proper show and it's just, you know, chosen to use this format. I guess what's most interesting to me is that it really opens up, you know, a web series is not, it's not free to produce, obviously, but it's a lot cheaper than a movie or, you know, a TV show generally. And it kind of opens up the ability for people to create these things because it is the kind of thing that, you know, if you put some money into like getting the right equipment and getting a good cast and doing all of this, like you can do it yourself without it looking, you know, like I said, super homemade and maybe not the best kind of production. So what do you guys think about that? Karen, tell me.
Why me?
Because I'll always pick on you if I have no choice.
That's true. Yeah, I think it's really interesting that it can be done for a lot less money. And, you know, like I said, that was one of the reasons why I wasn't sure if I really wanted to get into them, because I was like, I don't want to watch something that is, you know, going to ruin my favorite book or will just not really make me forget that I'm watching something that isn't real. That was one of my favorite things about the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, is I kept forgetting that it wasn't real. It felt like a real vlog. And that was so cool. And I love the idea, too, that you can watch it online. I mean, the way that we're watching television these days, with the introduction of Netflix and all these other platforms where you can watch your favorite shows online or, you know, in different ways. Netflix, obviously, you can watch on TV, too. It's really changing everything. And I think web series is going to be a huge part of that.
I agree with that. I think, web series, we're starting to see it more now. Like there's a lot more different shows like coming out and kind of ongoing at the moment. And they're all really well written, well acted, well shot. Like they're so good. And I think there's a lot more room for them to continue to grow as well, because they can get such massive audiences, because the way that we use social media is that's how we kind of pass everything on. And the fact that a lot of these also go across onto different social media sites and like, for example, in the instance of Emma Approved as well, like they did like a little fashion blog kind of thing. You know, you can bring different aspects of it into it and it makes it more interactive. And I think that makes web series so unique in that it engages your audience in a way that normal TV shows don't always get the chance to do.
Yeah. Mary Kate, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Oh, I have a lot of things I could add, I guess. I mean, they're definitely changing the way things are, and it's crazy. I never expected anything that, you know, the Lizzie Bennet Diaries changed my life in a lot of ways, and I never expected that from a web series, and I think most actors don't. And not only that, like, it was just a completely different acting experience because everything was so visceral and so real, and you could turn around and see what people thought about it, like, the minute the episode was up, which was really bizarre and very weird, and sometimes I had to watch myself to not get too interested in the Tumblr tags, but, you know, it's as an actor, all you want to do is be in things, or at least all I want to do is be in things that people really care about. And that was clear that people really, really cared, which was really, really awesome. And it was just cool to, like, you know, be Lydia and get on and see myself tweeting with Wickham and see how those things, you know, made me feel. Like, it made that experience very real. And it was, yeah, like I said, just very different from any other acting experience that I've had or probably will have. And that was really, really cool.
Okay, so let's talk about the transmedia side. So, you know, transmedia is all of the additional content to the videos. So things like Twitter accounts, Tumblr accounts, Donya mentioned, like fashion blogs. The Lizzie Bennet Diaries, of course, won an Emmy for its transmedia. And Karen, I know you watched it, you kind of followed along with all of that. I know a lot of people really love the transmedia, but some people aren't as big fans. I suppose it depends, like, how you like consuming your content. What do you guys feel about this? Because I I feel like because the Lizzie Bennet Diaries kind of kicked everything off, it then saw a wave after that of not like copycat, but a lot of series that were very directly inspired by that and kind of just structurally followed the same format in terms of like straight to camera vlogging with transmedia accounts attached. That's not to like disparage any of the series that did that. That's just, you know, like Lizzie Bennet was first, and then it inspired a lot of others who you know, referenced it fairly obviously. Are you guys into transmedia? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Is it some series have done it better than others? Is it a case-by-case basis? How does it work for you?
I think for me, it's a case-by-case basis. Like some, it works a lot better for some shows than others, I found. Like Lizzie Bennet just did it so right from the word go. Like I was so immersed in the whole universe of the Lizzie Bennet Diaries that I kind of forgot at times that it wasn't real. Like it was like a scripted thing. Like the vlogs themselves were like phenomenally done, and then you had the Twitter accounts going across, and I was like, sometimes I would be like, I'm just following real people here. This mm-hmm. is, I'm just following someone who's doing a vlog. And I actually really liked that immersion in it because it made me far more invested in the characters and the outcome, even though as someone who was very, very familiar with Pride and Prejudice anyway, I kind of, you know, knew where it was going, but that didn't like take away the impact of it anymore. And like for in the case of Emma Approved and how they used fashion blogging, I got like stupidly obsessed with following the fashion blog as they were doing it as well. Like I think that worked really, really well. I actually ended up buying a few pieces from it as well because I ended up loving them so much. So that clearly worked.
Oh wow. Good marketing technique.
Yeah.
I think at times it can be a lot to keep up with, and I'm kind of in a weird place because obviously I didn't watch it live, and I sort of just went through for the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, went through the website and saw it, you know, as it happened to that way. So I wasn't as immersed as, you know, obviously like Danya was or people who had watched it from the very beginning. And I think it can be a little overwhelming, but at the same time, I really love the idea of it because it's a way to, like we've been saying, make you forget that these things aren't real. And we all interact on social media anyway, and to bring, you know, a show that we're watching to that platform, not the people that are acting in it, but the actual show, I think, is something that's just so cool and not anything I ever really expected to happen. And the way that Lizzie Bennet Diaries did it was, I don't know, it was just so real. And it's something I definitely never seen before, but really enjoyed.
I feel like the key is good transmedia. And I mean, this is probably fairly obvious, but like good transmedia, it has to be supplementary and it has to be complementary, but it can't be necessary to understand. And I feel like that's where mm-hmm. some series fall down, in that you need to follow all of the transmedia to kind of keep up to what's happening in the show. You know, like I would point to Welcome to Sanditon as an example of that, which was really an experiment in expanding the transmedia world. And, you know, because that series was not really plot driven, because, you know, the book was never finished that it was based on, it's a little more character driven, but it was more focused on, yeah, the transmedia world. And when I was watching that, when I was covering it for Hyperball, because I was not actively involved in the transmedia, I was following it but I wasn't participating in it, it didn't work as well for me. Whereas the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, you can watch that entire show through without looking at any of the tweets, any of the, you know, Pinterest or like whatever else is going on. I think the only thing you need to do is you need to, well, I would argue you need to watch the other video channels for that. Like if you just watched Lizzie's videos and you didn't watch Lydia's video, or you didn't watch Maria's videos or anything like that, I think you would have a far lesser experience with the show and with the characters. But the actual like transmedia itself, it's not necessary to enjoy the show and understand the show. So, you know, something I think, yeah, like we said, a little hit and miss with some of them. So, I want to talk a bit about some of these other series we have listed here, but, I want to talk about something I'm excited for in the world of web series. What I am so excited for at the moment is that I think we're starting to see this change from, like I said, people being very directly influenced by things like the Lizzie Bennet Diaries and Emma Approved and, you know, sort of the Pemberley Digital style of show, which is you vlog to a camera doesn't really move, you know, people come in and out. It's really great for web series because you can use the same set over and over, limits, you know, budgets, costs, all of these things. But we are starting to see shows try different things, and that is very exciting to me. So, like one of the shows that I really like is Blank Verse, which is a Shakespearean adaptation, and that's like a single camera show basically. And so the style of it itself is like very, very different. There's none of this vlogging happening. It's, you know, it's telling the story of what's going on. A couple others that I really like, which Mary-Kate can talk a little bit about, are from our friend Yulene, who we were talking about earlier, who is a director, a web series director. And she has created the Kissing in the Rain web series. And also I Didn't Write This. And Kissing in the Rain is not strictly a literary adaptation, but has its moments. It's about, in the case of the first chapter, which Mary-Kate starred in, it's about two actors who are constantly working together, even though they apparently really dislike each other. So the first half of each episode is them, the scene that they've filmed, and the second half is, you know, the actors themselves dealing with each other. But what the show did so well is that it gave a chance for these key scenes from you know, books that we know really well to be adapted. And, you know, as the title may give away, it was generally the big romantic kiss scenes. but it meant that we get to see things like Anne of Green Gables, or in the second half of the series, Great Gatsby and I Capture the Castle. And that was really interesting to me because it showed that, like, doesn't have to be the whole book, you know, because these books are, you can film a little bit of it. I mean, most of them are in public domain, so you could film all of it if you wanted to. But because we know them so well, we can contextualize the scenes for ourselves, and we don't have to see the whole thing for it to be effective. So have Karen or Janya, have either of you seen Kissing in the Rain?
Yes.
Oh.
Love it. So did you like it?
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you think about that? First of all, would you count it as, you know, if we're talking about like literary adaptations, would it count for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely, because it's still an adaptation of, even if it's just like an adaptation of a scene, or even just like a small section of a scene, it still takes a lot of skill, both on the directing side and the setup of the shots, and even from the acting side, to be able to capture the entire character and kind of the setting in such a short space of time takes so much skill. So I would absolutely count it. Yes, 100%. And Kissing in the Rain is right up there in like some of my favorites.
I'm glad that we
passed. It's super adorable.
Very nervous about that. I was like, both Sean and I were like, these characters are characters people really love, and we're playing them for all of 30 seconds, and we maybe did not, like, do hours and hours of research because, you know, it's just this short little thing. I was very nervous about it, although I had played Anne Shirley before, so that was a bit easier for me.
Yeah, that must be a weird experience.
It was weird. It was fun. I mean, when I played Anne Shirley before, well, that's not true. I was going to say it was when she was young, and this, of course, was a bit older. Although in the play that I did, it kind of followed her from age 12 to late teens. But yeah, it was fun. I was excited. I love Anne Shirley. She's one of my favorite characters, like, just ever, not only that I've played. So that was really fun to do. And Yulene is just, she loves, obviously, literature and classic literature and love stories and poetry. And I think she's been very smart in realizing, you know, that this is such a, you know, kind of a fertile ground to be creating things on, but not doing it in the way that everybody else is doing it. Not to say that everybody is doing it all the same way, but obviously there is this kind of similar thing. And she did do a Telltale blog, or Shipwrecked, you know, did that together.
Yes.
And that is my personal favorite, although I really have not watched enough of all the other series that you've mentioned, but I really loved Telltale Vlog, and it's very like bizarre, and it's not really an adaptation. Yeah, I think that's been Shipwrecked's great sort of accomplishment thus far, and Yulene specifically is that she does, you know, kind of take this zeitgeist and love for classic literature that's so like alive on the web, but do something very different with it, and that's been fun for
me.
Yeah,
so
as well.
A Telltale Vlog, if people are not familiar, is Edgar Allan Poe. If he was a YouTube vlogger, and it's the funniest thing you'll ever see in your life.
Funny.
Like it's really this. Good. This is what introduced me to Shipwrecked and their work. And I mean, I wrote about it on Hypebeast. I watched it like 14 times in a row. I'm not even kidding. I laughed every single time. It's very short. It's really fantastic. Like Mary Kate said, it's you know, it's taking this idea of the kind of straight to camera literary blog that we were seeing, and then with a twist, because you know it's not his poems or his stories or anything like that, it's just him, like it's just Poe trying to blog, and it's so fantastic.
And a lot of credit goes to Sean Persaud on that, and Sinead as well, who plays Lenore. I know Sinead I think wrote her bits, and Sean just improvised the entire thing. They were
which
like,
is ridiculous.
Read the Raven and make it funny. And he did. And I'm not, he's kind of a genius, that fellow. But yeah, I've watched it a few times myself. I think it's great.
Yeah. And the other good thing about sort of what Shipwrecked is doing is that, well, Yulene, I suppose specifically, is that it's not restricted to classic adaptations, which is what mostly what we see is the sort of the Austen camp, then there's the Shakespeare camp, you know, in terms of literary web series, you kind of get one or the other, or you know, things that's kind of sit on that spectrum. But Yulene has a series called I Didn't Write This, where she adapts poetry or books with, you know, it's basically she'll film the scenes, but then it's produced with a voiceover over the top of it. And a couple that might be of interest to our audience is actually both, I think, starring you, Mary-Kate, Looking for Alaska, obviously by John Green, and then Fangirl, as we've mentioned a few times, by Rainbow Rowell. I know when the Fangirl scene that came out, everyone on Hyperbole watched it and loved it and were like begging for a movie.
Yes.
Right.
It killed me. It was so good for so many different reasons, and I really need a full-length movie of that.
Oh, I'm really Seriously. Glad you guys liked it. I was really excited to. We were all nervous too, or we being me and Yulene were like, we're not really supposed to do this, but we think Rainbow's pretty cool, so hopefully she won't care.
Yeah. And she was like all into it, right?
Yeah, she was very cool about it, and even corresponded personally with Yulene a bit over it, which is really neat. And yeah, that was pretty nerve-wracking too. Obviously I read the book for that, but I know that I personally don't think that I look like Kath in my brain, and there are things that I would do, like if I were going to be in a movie of Fangirl that I didn't get to do. And I know that people are really hold that book very close to their hearts, so I was a little nervous about it. But people seem to be very positive, and obviously the fellow that we got to play Levi, his name is Denver Millard, and he is
perfect.
I think it's a great, great Levi.
Yeah.
So that was really fun, and I really like that Yulene is doing this, because at the very least, like, I get a chance to play these characters for like 2 minutes. These characters that I really love and read these books and like play them in my head, and you know, at least I can do that for a minute. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, and like you said, obviously the main issue with that is, you know, copyright. If a book has come out in the last few years, or, you know, in the last like 20 years, you can't really do that. But, right, you know, depending how you go about it, that's why, you know, most people do like Jane Austen or Shakespeare. No one's going to be coming up to them for a copyright infringement for adapting, you know, a Shakespeare play. But I think it raises an interesting question, which is, if web series continue to be as successful as they have been, like Lizzie Bennet has proved that they can be very successful, and I think the sort of creation of Pemberley Digital as a company really dedicated to producing adaptations shows that this really is an industry now. Do you think that we could see people choosing to go the web series route instead of, you know, a TV show or a film, keeping in mind that even if something is optioned for film, or, you know, maybe gets picked up for TV, it often isn't even made in the end, or it's years later. Whereas with the web series, as Mary Kate said, like, it's a much faster turnaround once it gets started. So what do you guys think? Could we see, you know, our favorite books or new books or debuts coming out maybe adapted as a web series in a couple of years versus, you know, more traditional media?
I think it's entirely possible. I mean, there's a huge shift in terms of not only how we consume our media, but how we even get it to actually be. I mean, you see so much crowdfunding these days as well. So I think, you know, there's a massive chance that crowdfunding could be the way forward for a lot of this stuff. So if you've got a massive following behind a book and you feel like it's going to work better in a web series format, I mean, you can crowdfund it and push it through that way. And I definitely think that some things are going to be more suited to this kind of adaption rather than like full length episodes on TV or even adapting it to a movie. I think sometimes a web series can often work better for it. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of different ways you could do it, but I definitely think that it could be a way forward, especially for book adaptions.
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of already started because Morganville, the Rachel Caine series of books that she's written, like, I don't know, 5 million of them. They're like young adult vampire non-Twilight books. They did a Kickstarter campaign and they decided to do a web adaptation instead of a TV adaptation. And I think she said when they were doing it, she's just sick of waiting for things to happen. And that's supposedly going to star Amber Benson of Buffy fame.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So I actually spoke to her about it at Comic-Con last year and they were still very much in like pre-production, but I think the scripts and things have been written since then. So, you know, some people are turning to that. Karen, would you watch a web adaptation versus a TV adaptation if someone adapted one of your favorite books for web instead?
Absolutely. I think, you know, if it's as quality as these other ones that I've seen, then I see absolutely no difference between it being on, you know, television or in a movie theater versus online. I mean, we watch so much of our stuff online anyway. And I agree that this could really end up happening. I mean, it may seem a little strange right now because web series are just starting to really kick off and take over. But I have a feeling a lot of authors who aren't getting, you know, payoff from television studios or, you know, film studios are going to start going this route. I mean, it's sort of like self-publishing when you're an author or something. You know, you just kind of take it into your own hands and do what you want to do with it. And I think this could open up a whole new market, and that's really exciting.
It's always exciting to see our favorite things made into other things that we like. Who doesn't enjoy that? Okay, we're sort of getting to the end of our conversation, but I wanted to plug some more things, and I thought we should do that by talking about some of our favorites. So, Karen, you talked about The New Adventures of Peter and Wendy.
which I know that you're obsessed with. I received many text messages to prove that fact. Are there any other shows that you have started watching that you're enjoying or that you have checked out the trailer and you're hoping to watch?
Well, I did start watching Frankenstein MD because I know you recommended that to me since I like Frankenstein a lot. And it's really different. It's not really what I thought it was going to be, but I'm into it and I want to see where they go with it. And I think it's really well done. And some of the side characters actually are my favorites. They're really funny and really good. So that's one that I'm hoping will continue and get better and better as time goes on.
Yeah, it's a very unique take on Frankenstein. It's funny though. I like it a lot. Danya, what other shows have you enjoyed or are you currently enjoying?
I am currently enjoying Nothing Much to Do, which is all your fault.
I stole it from me.
I'm going to let you go into it more, but I hadn't been exposed to that one until I saw your, like, until you linked me to it, and then I saw your Hyperbole article about it as well. So that's one that I've currently been binge watching, and as of this evening, I am on episode 56 of 62. So before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to be finishing what I've got left.
Before you go to bed tonight, Danya, isn't it already like 2 in the morning or something?
It's maybe coming up to 1:15 in the morning, but it's fine. Oh, God. I'm on the late shift for work tomorrow. I purposely changed it so that I could stay up late. It's fine.
Oh, exciting stuff.
But I have a massive soft spot for Emma Approved as well. Lizzie Bennet Diaries is my given, but Emma Approved, I had a massive soft spot for that one. It just was so good.
I think I'm actually in the minority, and like maybe this is a bad thing to say with Mary Kate, nothing personal. I think I actually liked Emma Approved more than Lizzie Bennet, and people will be mad at me for that. But when I rewatch them now, I don't know what it is. Something about Emma Approved, I really, really enjoyed. Maybe I just like, I think it's just I like Emma more than Pride and Prejudice. Maybe that's the answer. But yeah, I can definitely get behind Emma Approved as a recommendation. Nothing Much to Do is like, everyone needs to watch this show. I'm never going to stop talking about this until everyone has watched it. I wrote a really long, really, really long like essay about it on Hyperbole, so we can link to that if you're interested. It's about Much Ado About Nothing, obviously Shakespeare. It's a New Zealand adaptation, which is exciting for me because it's a vaguely familiar accent, so I can get on board with that. It's produced by like these, you know, 20-somethings from New Zealand. It's really, really well produced, and I think it's the best thought out adaptation I have ever seen, in that it's very clear that the people who made it are very involved in the fan community and really thought about how the changes would affect the characters, how they would make sense in the modern world. And they weren't afraid to critique some of the original aspects of the play. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil the adaptation choices, but, you know, some of the things that happen in the original play, you know, can't go down so well now because that was like 400 years ago. So things are a little different. And they haven't like restricted themselves to doing everything, to hitting every beat in the way that it happened in the play. And that's like a really brave choice, I think, to do that, because, you know, a lot of times when people are watching these things, they're watching them because they really love the source material. So to kind of divert from that a little it's a brave choice. So I would definitely recommend that. Another one that did a very similar thing is Jules and Monty, which is an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet. It's really short. It's only like 20 episodes.
It's so great, you guys. I think I'm just on this like Shakespeare web series like bender at the moment because everything that I've been liking is really Shakespearean. Yeah, so definitely check out Jules and Monty and Blank Verse, as I mentioned before. Another one that I always that I have a soft spot for is School of Thrones, which is the parody of Game of Thrones. It's so on point. It is like crazy on point with not just like the books and the TV show, but also like the crazy fan theories yes. that surround it. And what I really enjoy about this is, again, really clever because in terms of like, I mean, I don't know if like legally it's all good, but like in terms of copyright, you know, you can use things in a parody. You can use different materials if it's like a parody of it. And that's another way you can get around the whole copyright infringement issue. It just is so funny. It's just really good. Mary-Kate, I feel like School of Thrones would have been a lot of fun to film.
It was a lot of fun. We were just all having a blast, which was just like a party.
Yeah.
It was great. I like working with those guys.
Yeah, so that's another one definitely
some
worth checking out.
Some of the casting choices for School of Thrones was like, it was so uncanny how yeah. much they look like some of the
oh,
characters. From...
The one that's Baelish?
Yes!
Oh,
yeah.
It looks exactly
oh,
the
oh
same.
My God. I looked that up twice because I was like, wait a second. Okay, it's not the same person. Wait, are you sure? And I looked it up again and I was like, nope, definitely not.
That's really funny. Yeah, that one is
playing Jamie a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did well.
Uncanny. How much?
I would like to see more adaptation productions from those people because that was just so spectacular.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you liked it. I know they wanted to do more. I don't really know the details, but hopefully it's not the end that you'll see of School of Thrones. But
yeah,
we shall see.
In the pipeline at some point. Mm-hmm. Mary-Kate, I have a question from Twitter
yes.
for you from the Ed Creature, who says, other than Lydia and I guess Anne Shelley, who you've played a couple of times now, yeah. what other literary character would you most like to play in a web series?
I don't know. I get this question all the time. I'm really bad at it.
Should just choose like a really crazy answer each time. Like, what, I want to play yeah. Frodo in the web series adaptation of Lord of the Rings.
I do want to play Frodo.
Yeah.
I want to play every character, actually. That's my answer.
One
I just
woman
wanna...
show.
Of Lord of the Rings coming up
Perfect.
Soon from me.
kickstart that because I would watch it so hard.
Oh, God, please don't.
Please. Someone start a Kickstarter campaign, the
oh
Mary Kate
God.
Miles one woman show of Lord of the Rings.
I have to be careful what I say.
Yeah.
Careful what I wish for.
Oh God. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I feel like that's kind of it in terms of series, unless anyone had any others they wanted to. Oh, I should mention there's the autobiography of Jane Eyre, which we didn't talk about, but that's another one kind of in the vein of Lizzie Bennett Diaries. That came out very soon after Lizzie Bennett sort of premiered, and it's in that same style, but a very different feel to that show. So that's another one worth checking out. And then the newest development in the world of web series is that there are books now, like as we mentioned earlier, The Secret Diary of Lizzie Bennett, and I think maybe there's another book coming out that has something to do with a different character on that show. Does anyone know what that could be?
I've heard a rumor.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Something about Lydia Bennett book.
Yeah, something about a sequel, Lydia Bennett.
Yes, that's what I've heard. So, that's what they say is in the works. Yeah. Yes.
Very exciting. Well, when the Secret Diary of Lizzie Bennett was, when that show was kind of optioned for the book deal, it was a two-book deal. Mm-hmm. So it looks like the second one is Lydia. What's interesting about this is that the Lydia book is going to be a sequel. It's not going to be, apparently, it's not going to be, you know, the same things from Lydia's perspective. It's going to be what happened after from Lydia's perspective. Which means more story, like means expanding the universe more, but in a different format, which is crazy.
That is correct. It's pretty exciting. I'm really happy about it. I'm really excited about it.
Has anyone seen that gif of Fry from Futurama just clutching the, like, wads of cash and just, like, is like, take my money? That's me right now. Take my money. I want it.
I think I'm more interested. I was always more interested in Lydia than in Lizzie in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, not least because of the wonderful portrayal by a certain...
Stop making me blush.
Yeah. I think it's just because, like, Lydia's... I'm always interested when, like, big changes are made to characters in adaptations. Yeah. And Lydia had the biggest change. The others were kind of, you know, modernized but kind of hitting the same beats. And so that's why I'm really interested to read this book from Lydia's perspective and see, like, what else is going on with her. And hopefully it kind of follows the same tone and follows in that same what was set up in the videos. We shall see.
Yeah, we certainly got to have a lot of fun with her, and the fun continues. I'm not complaining. It's great.
And maybe you'll get your own audiobook.
I hope so. That would be very daunting and very scary and very exciting. I'd have to put Lydia's voice on again. I don't know. It's been a while. It would be a challenge.
Yeah, well, if not, I mean, Ashley, you said she did a pretty good job in her, so maybe just get her to the Lydia voice.
Yeah, there's always Ashley.
Ashley doing the Lydia voice of Lydia doing other characters' Lydian voices. Tired. Yeah, it's like Inception, you guys. It's too crazy. Okay, so that's kind of a general roundup of what is happening in the world of literary web series. I hope we've given you guys listening lots of things to check out. You know, there's three nerds and a newbie on this show, and we are all big fans. So hopefully you will join us in our crazy ways. Did anyone have anything else they wanted to add?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to tell people who, and I guess this is sort of confession time for me. I mean, you guys pretty much know this already, but if you haven't read the source material, don't be intimidated by the web series. I haven't read Pride and Prejudice. I haven't read Emma. I haven't read a lot of the stuff on this list, and yet I still really, really enjoyed everything that I saw. So I think it's a lot funnier, and you'll get a lot more of the jokes and little, like, throwbacks to the original if you have read it. But if you're like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to read Pride and Prejudice just to be able to watch the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, don't even worry about it. It's still fantastic just as it is.
It must be so crazy watching those things. I never thought about this, watching them and, like, not knowing where it's going.
Yeah. I had a vague idea of what was going to happen, but I didn't know how it was going to happen. And a lot of the side stuff I had no clue about. But also, I'm really excited to read Pride and Prejudice now because I want to see how different it is. So I'm doing it a little bit backwards, but I'm still going to do it.
Hey, anything that makes you read Jane Austen.
Yeah, I don't think there are any sex tapes, but I might be.
Yeah, report back.
It's been a while since I've read.
I will let you know.
A little while, yeah.
I think
that's a very good point.
My thing is, if anyone who's listening to this actually has a web series that they really love, hit up the comments on Hypeable when this goes up and link them, because I'm very quickly running out and I need more to watch. So if you have any recommendations for us, let us know, because I'm always looking for more stuff to watch and kind of broaden my web series horizons.
You too can be a web series dealer. Just link us in the Hyperwall comments. Okay, so that's it for Book Hype. We'll be back next week probably with a bit of a general news show, and Jen and I will be talking about our five memorable books that we've somehow narrowed it down to. So make sure you come back for that. Mary-Kate, where can people find you online if they want to find more about you and see more of your things?
You can find me on most of the things at MK Wiles, M K W I L E S, on Twitter and Instagram. I am on Tumblr at marykatewiles.tumblr.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube, like I mentioned earlier. I'm just everywhere. So.
Oh my God! You can't get away from that.
You can't. I'm everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay. So, and Danya, where can people find you?
Best places are probably Twitter, of which I am virtual_Don, and the underscore still deeply troubles me. I don't like having underscores in my usernames, but someone stole just virtual Don without the underscore on Twitter. So I'm mad about that because they've never tweeted anything in their life. So mad about it. And in the same vein, on Tumblr, I'm just virtual Don, all one word. So.
Yeah. Okay. And you can find Karen. You know where to find Karen. We're just here. You can't get rid of us.
Old news. Move on.
We are old news, Karen. We have been usurped by the exciting new people. Okay. So with that, I think we'll leave it there. Until next time, I'm Marima.
I'm Karen.
I'm Danya.
Oh, I'm Mary Kate, but
yeah, you are. Okay. Good work, team. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Well done.
I always love springing that on people.
Yeah, on people who don't. Yeah, me too. I always remember, like, 5 minutes before we're finishing, oh, no one knows about the sign-off. Ha, 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 no one knows about the sign-off. Suckers, let's see what they do.
Adds an element of surprise.
Oh, sounds hey, great. You can come back and be a book nerd anytime.
Book nerds.
But, yeah, book nerds unite. That's basically the job description. That should be our tagline. Karen, why don't we have t-shirts? Book hype, book nerds unite.
Talk to Jen, not me. I'm not the boss.
Karen, are you recording?
I am recording.
Okay, excellent. Lots of outtakes. My favorite.